We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Shabbos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Vav, in middle of the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, which is in middle of paragraph Zion, page 34, for those who have the standard 8-volume Likutei Halachos. So now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, Omale, so the Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said to the butcher, Reisha Islach Lizvuni, do you have a head to sell me? Omar lay in. So the butcher said, sure. Omar lay, so Rabbi Shimon Hanya said, Reisha Bekama, how much do you charge for a head? Now Rabbi Nosson Zal explains, Roish Zebechinas Hamachshova Sheberoish. The word head obviously refers to the thoughts which are inside of the mind. Sheshoa loisoi, Rabbi Shimon Hanya was asking this butcher, Ato oisek b'masu matin ze, limkor lahachnis machshova yisroes b'vnei odom. You're involved in this line of work of injecting thoughts into persons' brains. Hoidieni reisha bekama. Tell me, what do you charge for a head? Meaning, hainu be'eze dvar machshovo ata mizgaber yoyser al b'nei odom lelochtom b'mitzuda secha. Meaning, what is your most powerful thought that you use to grab a person's mind, to take control of a person's mind, and thereby not allow the person to be thinking along the right track, thinking along the track of serving Hashem? Omar lei, so the butcher said to him, Bepalga dezuza. The answer is half a dollar, half a buck. Hainu b'machshovoi shel taivois momoi, meaning money, U.S. dollars. That's what I get people to think about. Vizehu bepalga dezuza. This is why he used the word half a dollar, half a zuz. Ki ein odom meis v'chatzi tavosa biodoi. Because there's a pasuk that says that a person who is pursuing money, where that's their main goal in life, those people never leave the world even having achieved half of what they wanted. They're never even half satisfied. Because as the Gemara says, a person who has 100, he wants 200. And this is why, when the Gemara wants to symbolize the concept of the desire for money, the wrong type of desire for money, where a person is only interested in money, or where money becomes their priority in life, you know, over serving Hashem, the Gemara refers to it as half a zuz. Because these types of people who are pursuing money, they're always the maximum at half of what they need, half of what they're looking for. The person is never satisfied. When he has 100,000, he feels that if he had 200,000, he'd be okay. When he has 100 million, he feels all he needs is 200 million and he'll stop. You know, he'll be okay. Ki yesh loy mosayim, and he wants still more. So the Gemara says over there, Yoav lei. Ki Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya rotza oz lach. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya gave him the half a dollar. Ki Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya rotza oz lach ni ala shaber koicham shel chochmas de sitra achra. Shubachin asovet ve'atuna. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya wanted to try to defeat the wisdoms of the sitra achra, which is the Soved Ve'atuna, She'ikr Yinikusa Mimachshova Yisroi Shel Taivas Rois, where their main basis, they draw their strength from bad thoughts, from the concept of people thinking too much and dwelling too much on what they're not supposed to be thinking about. Those people that get wrapped up in thinking only about money and the pursuit of money, that's also Machshova Yisrois. It's like they fall into this bottomless pit, into this quicksand that swallows them up completely and doesn't allow them to see their way into religion, into serving Hashem, into accomplishing what they're really in this world for. V'alkein huchrach lohirid es atzmai latzinor shelohem, and therefore, in order to defeat them, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya had to lower himself into their plumbing system, into their pipes. Shemisham yonkim koicham, from where they draw their energy. Ukemuva bedvorov zal batoyro reisim anor azov, belikuti alef simen ches ein shom, as is explained by Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Moran, chapter 8, in the first half of Likutei Moran, there Rabbi Nachman goes into a very broad explanation of how the tzaddik has to go behind enemy lines, how he has to go into the source of the Sitra Achra in order to defeat them there, like a paratrooper who goes behind enemy lines, or a spy. And when the tzaddik does this, when he lowers himself into their camp, they don't realize what his intent is. They look at him as another victim, that they've caught somebody else in their trap. Where usually, when they ensnare people in their traps, those people become sources of energy for the Sitra Achra to become even stronger. As is discussed also in another chapter on Likutei Moran, Bahatoira Tiku Gimel, Belikutei Moran Tanina Simen Ches Ayin Shom, as is discussed in the third Tiku, which is chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Vizeo Bechinas Yoevle, and this is why it says that Rabbi Shimon Chanya gave him. He gave this butcher. He gave him the half a dollar, which symbolizes money. Meaning, Rabbi Shuben Hananya lowered himself into this mud of Taivas Mamoin, where it appeared to them as if he wants to become a paying member. He wants to join their organization. You know, he's part of them. And he's giving them strength, he's feeding them, just like other people who, as a result of falling into these bad desires, they end up giving strength, nourishment to the Sitra Achra. L'soif, afterwards, Omar Lei, Rabbi Shimon Chanya said to the butcher, Havli Reishech, give me your head. Hainu tainli hamachshava ro shebroish shekonisi al yedei hapalga dezuza shnasati loch. Meaning, he was saying to him, okay, I'm a paying member now. Give me the bad thought. Give me one of those bad thoughts that you use to hook people. Dehainu al yedei shoyradati esatzmi letaiva zoi shel momoin, as a result of my lowering myself into this taivas momoin, shaydeze atoloichei desoilom, which is what you use to ensnare people into your camp, you get them hooked in that. And once people get involved in making the pursuit of money the priority of their life, that leads to all kinds of other problems. Yohevle Reisha Dechyusa. So the butcher gave him the head of an animal. Shenosan loy eze machshova ro, we said chayos rois, represented bad thoughts. So the Sitra Achra gave him a thought, Shehi bechinas chayos rois, which represents represented by these bad animals. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shimon Chanya said to him, Ano reisha dechiyusa amrilach? Did I say I want the head of an animal? Ano reishoch amrilach? I said I want your head. Rabbi Shimon Chanya hidiyo lo yachakach. Rabbi Shimon Chanya was informing him, Sheloi bolakan chas hashom liknois velikach machshovois rois. I'm not coming here as one of your regular customers to purchase bad thoughts. Kim reishoch amrilach. I told you, I'm looking for your head. Shemashoi radati esatzmi lakan. The fact that I lowered myself into here, hoyo bishvil reishoch, was because I'm looking for your head. Ki ani roitze lachtoich reishoch. I want to cut your head off. Lahachniacha uleshabracha, in order to subdue you, humble, you know, and to destroy you. And that's the only reason why I allowed myself to enter into here and to get membership, in order to break you and destroy you. As is explained in the chapter 8 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nachman shows there that in order for the tzaddik to really destroy the Sitra Achra, he has to, at times, go behind enemy lines, go into the Sitra Achra, lahavdil, as we find in cases, for example, where the Israeli government sent spies to Syria, and the guy ended up becoming a leading government member in the government of Syria. in order to try to topple the government, in order that that could bring about the greatest defeat of the other side. Here also in Ruchnius, it works the same way. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Shua ben Chananya said to the butcher, "I bois de ishbekoch, if you want me to leave you alone, sagi achvili pischa de beatuna, then I insist that you show me the entrance to where these wise men of Athens, where your leaders are." So Rav Nosson Zal explains, Rabbi Yishua ben Chananya ro'o shekvar yesh loy koyach l'shaber hatzinoyer hora hazeh shohir edes atzmei l'shom. Rabbi Yishua ben Chananya realized that he has the ability to destroy the pipe, their pipeline that he had lowered himself into. He saw that he has that ability to destroy that center that he found himself in right now. But he wasn't satisfied with that alone. Kirotzo leshabram legamri. He wanted to destroy them completely. He wanted to get to their nerve center, to their foundation, and destroy from there. Alkein rotzo lohoniach oisoi livli leshabro yelohorgo legamri. Therefore, he was prepared to let that person go to a degree, to let that butcher go, and not destroy him completely, rakrotzo leireid yoiser, but rather to continue further in his trip, lowering himself further down, ad sheyira hapesach shel hatuma hagemura, in order for him to locate the entrance to the complete tuma, to the nerve center of this place, sheshom yoishvim toikef hasitrachra, where the most powerful part of the Sitrachra resides, Shehem Chachme Yovon, who were these wise men of Athens, Shehem HaSove Devei Atuna, Ki Kol Ma Sheroitzim L'Shabram Yoiser, Tzrichim Leireid L'Shom Yoiser, because this is a rule, that the more that a person wants to be effective in destroying the Sitrachra, he has to be prepared to go further inside to the place of the Sitrachra, to get to the origin, to get to the source, and be able to do it from there. Alkein Omar Lei, therefore he said to him, Ibois de Ishbekoch, Sagi Achvili Pischa de Beatuna. If you want me to let you go, I'll do it on condition that you show me where the entrance is to the place where the Soved Beatuna sit. Hainu, Ima Toroitze Shani Achoisoch, if you want me to release you, Telech, go, Vitirali apesa shulahem, and show me where their entrance is. Omar Lei, so this butcher responded, Mistafina, I'm afraid. The kol demachvilahu katlile, because the law is, anyone who reveals the secret as to where their hiding place is, gets killed. Ki kol hamilchoma hazois hoyo bo'irach machshovo v'sechel. Rav Nosson Zal explains, because this battle that was taking place here was a battle in thought. And therefore, this thought that Rabbi Yishua ben Chananya had lowered himself into, in order to be able to try to go from thought, to get to the source of the Sitrachra, and he found that he had the ability to destroy this thought, Rakhinicha, but rather he did not destroy it. Vikovsho tachas yodoi, he conquered it. Shetelech imoi, and to use it for it to be a stepping stone. Like now he's going to leapfrog from thought to thought, mimachshovo lemachshovo, ad sheyira pesach hatumo shel asoved v'yatuna, until it's going to lead him to the entranceway, to the source of all of these machshovo yisrois, of all of these bad thoughts. Alkein heishiva lo yamachshovo, therefore this thought that he had jumped onto responded to him, eich efshar lehiskarif l'shom, how in the world do you think you're going to get close to there? Haloi kol hamiskarif l'shom hoergim oisoi, whoever gets anywhere near the source of these bad thoughts gets killed. Ki shocho el moves besa, because there's a pasuk that says that the residence of the Sitrachra is a place of death. We know that the Yetzahara, the Gemara says, Hu ha Yetzahara, Hu ha Mesis, Hu ha Mediach, Hu ha Malach HaMoves. that the same angel who is the one who seduces people into committing sins, he's the same one that's the Mekatrek, that becomes the prosecuting attorney in heaven, and he's the same one who's given the mission to carry out the sentence when a decree is issued that the person deserves a death penalty, chas v'shalom. It's that same angel that turns around, puts on a different hat and a different set of clothes, and he becomes the killer, chas v'shalom. So that's the point he was making here, that if you're going to dare try get to the center of this, you're going to a place of death. Omar lei, so Rabbi Shul B'chananya said to this butcher, Dore kruchya de kanyo, I want you to hold a bundle of sticks, like a bundle of bamboo sticks, something like that, v'chimotis lohosom, and I want you to walk towards the entrance of where these Sovei Devei Atuna are found. And when you get to the entrance, zakve, stand up, put your bundle down, keman de komitvach, like a person who's resting, a person who's carrying a heavy load, and he's exhausted, and he puts down his load for a minute just to rest, to catch his breath, and then he'll continue. And that'll be my signal to know that that's the entranceway. In other words, I don't want you to point or anything. We'll play this trick. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Sheheshiv lahamachshova, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya responded to this thought, Ma sha'ato misyorei leirig l'shom, sheloiti enilkad shom, the fact that you're worried about leading me there, and you're worried about us getting trapped there and killed in the process, etein lecho etzo klolis be'inyan hamachshavos eich tinotzel tomid mehem. I'm going to give you a very important piece of advice right now as to how a person can protect themselves from all the damage that can be caused from bad thoughts. What's the advice? V'zehu dori kruchya dekanyo. Kruch yedekanyo zebechinas hamachshavois shebemoyach shenikroim kanim. The term kanyo, which means reeds or sticks, is also a remez to thoughts, machshavois, because we know there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says bechinas kenei chochma kenei bina dikdusha. There's a pasuk in Mishlei where it says acquire chochma, acquire bina. So we see the term kone is used to referring to sechel. And kanya is the Aramaic version of the word koneh. Ulehepech ba sitrachro, yesh gam kein kanim de sitrachro. And we know that when we talk about the sitrachro, the tumah, there are their sticks, their bamboo sticks, which bechinas kruchye de kanya, a bundle of sticks. Bechinas krichas hamachshovois rabois shebamoyach. This is referring to the bundle of the multitude of thoughts that are racing through a person's mind. Sheharayonim v'hamachshovois kruchim v'nizbochim zebozeh, whereby a person's thoughts are attached to each other, like sticks that are tied together in a bundle. They're all part of one entity. As a result of the thoughts being interlocked and interlaced with each other, that's how the Yetzer Hara works. When he gets a person thinking along a certain track, the person doesn't realize he starts with thought A, and he doesn't realize that thought A is interwoven with B, and that leads to C, and if the person gets on that track, suddenly they find themselves far, far away from where they started. They find themselves in a maze of the Sitra Achra, where suddenly they fall into thinking about things that are way off track, and Chas V'Shalom could lead them into terrible sins, that kind of thing. Now, just to go back for a moment to the parentheses that we had just before, Kemo Shekosuv Bahatoira Ashrei Ha'om B'Simen Lamed Hey, in that chapter in Likutei Moran, in chapter 35, in the first half of Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zalder quotes a Gemara, where the Gemara mentions that Shlomo HaMelech, when he decided to marry Bas Paro, that night, the following morning, he woke up late. And we touched on this before, if you recall, and as a result, the Korban Tomid was delayed. And the Gemara also says that when Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, the angel Gavriel came down from heaven and he took a stick, a kona, that's the wording of the Gemara, he took a kona, and he stuck it into the ocean, and in that place was founded the city of Rome, the Vatican City. And Rabbein Azal explains over there, Rabbein Azal interprets that word kone again to refer to machshava. Shlomo HaMelech is the symbol of Chochma Dikdusha, Bas Paro is the symbol of Chochma is Chitzonius, and as a result of him falling into Bas Paro, that resulted in the foundation of the city of Rome, you know, the center of the Sitra Achra in a sense. You follow? So here Rav Nosson Zal is bringing that as another proof, as another reference to the fact that the word kone over there is a remez to machshava of machshava. So now Rav Nosson Zal continues. So now what's the etzah? When a person sees that he's attached to a bundle of reeds, meaning a bundle of machshavos, and it's a bundle of the Sitra Achra, where once he touches, once he grabs onto one of those sticks, it's locked into thousands of others, and he just starts bouncing from one to the other, and he doesn't know where it's leading him to. The advice for a person in that situation is, Dori kruchya dekanya, zakfe keman de mitvach. Take this bundle of reeds, this whole bundle, and put it down. Stand it up as if you want to rest, as if you want to take a break. Meaning, shepit'om, Ya'amoid ha'odom v'yonuach v'yishbois. The second that the person realizes that he's on this train, this fast-moving train, he grabs the emergency brake and he pulls it. And he says, stop, guys, I want to get off. And he just stops. There is a stop button where anytime the person wants, he pushes the stop button and says, freeze. I want to disengage. I want to disengage from these, from the thought, from, I want to stop thinking, period, literally. V'yiyeshev va'altayse b'machshavtoy. And just put his brain on pause for a minute. Disengage. Just let go from thinking. V'ze b'chinas Shabbos shehizkarnu l'mala. This is the reference that we made earlier, a couple of pages before, that let's say a person who during the 6 days of the week, he's running and running and running from item to item, all the bilbulim of the six-day work week, and the person feels like he's just going to collapse from all of it, and then suddenly Shabbos comes. And what does he do on Shabbos? He takes off his weekday clothes, takes his wallet out of his pocket, disconnects the phone, disconnects the beeper, suddenly disengages from everything. Everything is frozen. He hits the pause button. Shebetrich kol hatirdois v'habilbulim v'machshovois v'harayonim orabim. When the person finds himself in the midst of all of this confusion and this flood, this tidal wave of thoughts and bilbulim and tirdois, yivate lasatzmoi, the person nullifies himself, v'yonuach v'yishbois, and he puts himself in stop. You know, he puts himself on hold. Bebechinas Shabbos, as is the concept of Shabbos, the day of rest, the day of unplugging from that whole train, that whole avalanche. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, ki be'emes hamachshava b'yad ha'odom tomid lahatoyso kirtzoinoi, because the fact is that a person's mind is within his control. The person has the ability at all times to direct his mind in whatever direction he wants it. Rakishem is balbel b'machshavos v'rayonim harbe. It's just that when a person is being flooded with certain types of thoughts, nidmeloi shekosheloi lo shevolotes mehem, it seems to him as if it's like impossible to get out. He feels like he's in a quicksand, and he's surrounded on all sides, and like, how in the world do I get out of this? Avol ikar ho'etza. However, Rav Nosson Zal says the most important advice in that predicament is shepitom yamoid v'yishbois v'yivate latzmekanal, that the person should just hit that stop button, pull the emergency brake, and just disengage from all thinking. Just let go. V'zehu dorei kruchya dekanya. You're holding this bundle of sticks. Hainu, kishatonoise krichois hamachshovois v'rayonim harbe. When you find yourself suddenly holding a whole bundle of thoughts, you're locked onto this whole package of hundreds or thousands of thoughts, and your mind is bouncing from one to the other. Zakve kemandi atpach. Stand it up, stop, and stand up the bundle of reeds as if you're resting. Shepitom yamoid. The person should suddenly stop walking, stop moving, stop all of his motion. Kemi sheshoyves esatzmoi. Like a person who wants to take a break. Hainu bechinas Shabbos. That's the concept of Shabbos. Bechinas bitul. The concept of one unplugging themselves from all that's weekday, all that's choil, or a whole certain thought process. Just like the Shulchan Aruch says that on Shabbos a person is not allowed to speak about divrei choil, and he's not even allowed to, he's supposed to be thinking about his business. A person would say, what kind of, how in the world, what do you mean? I should stop my thought? People who don't know what that feeling is, to them they think it's like an impossibility. And they don't know what a religious Jew, what a Shomer Shabbos Jew experiences every single Friday night and every single Shabbos. That a Jew realizes that he does have the ability, it definitely is within his control, to unplug himself completely, completely from everything that's choil, and try to plug himself into a completely different place, a place of a pure spirituality. Because this is a very important rule regarding thoughts. That the most important thing is for a person to have the ability to stop. Stop and not think bad thoughts. Meaning, Rabbein Azal, when people spoke to him about problems that they had about bad thoughts, he didn't tell them, no, you're supposed to be thinking about good thoughts, but he said that when it comes to the thinking process, the way that a person wins the battle is he has to know that he has there is a break. Brake. There is an emergency break where you have the ability to stop, to freeze, and disengage. And just not think, period, for a certain period of time. As is discussed in the second half of Likutei Moran, all the way towards the end, in the appendixes, in chapter 122, where Rabbein Azal emphasized this, that when it comes to machshavos, just the sheval tase, just, you know, when you realize that you're caught in that trap, and you're falling, just freeze, disengage. And even if the person's mind has drifted away and it's become ensnared and trapped and it's traveled way off the track, and the person suddenly finds himself thinking thoughts that are chas v'shalom against Hashem, whether it be against faith in Hashem, whether it be bad thoughts related to women chas v'shalom, or any type of bad thoughts, Im yirtze lachzer veloshu v'lesoisro, if he's going to try to grab hold of his mind and schlep it back onto the kedusha, yiyeh nilkad yoiser, he'll get in trouble. He'll get pulled into the quicksand further. It'll suck him in even deeper. Rakshitz lahavdil. I remember hearing once that chas v'shalom, there are certain dogs, if I'm not mistaken, a Doberman Pinscher or something like that, where when it locks its teeth, or a snake, where when it locks its teeth or its jaws on a person, if you try to pull your hand out, the teeth sink in deeper, and it's all over. The trick is to try not to pull, to stay there, and then there's a chance, you know, that the teeth won't sink in more deeply, if you know what I'm referring to. And even when the person hits that stop button, just to stay in place and not do anything, not try to fight to run away, just stay there, just stop, freeze, that's it. That when the person finds himself in the midst of the most severe onslaught of these thoughts, you know, that he's mamish, the train is running, Yamoid v'yonuach v'lo yachshoy void. The person should just stand still, rest, and not think further. Not go any further. Ulefomim shetzorech loze bitul shivate latzmoy legamri. At times, what this requires is not just the person disengaging from the thoughts that he was involved in, but disengaging in thought completely, to stop thinking. So that even if his mind switches to a different topic, whatever topic it switches to, just no. Right now, I want to take a break. For a few seconds, I want to stop thinking, period. V'yizkor b'Hashem yizborach, and remind himself of Hashem, v'yivate l'satzmoy l'gabi oyer ho'en soif, and just try to plug into Hashem's infinite light. You know, not think about any pasuk in Chumash or any specific halacha or any specific gemara, but rather to let his mind just connect to Hashem in the abstract. You follow? Not in a tangent, not in any specifics, but just pure Hashem, Hashem's infinite light. V'zeh bechinas Shabbos. This is the concept of Shabbos. Shetzorich ha'odom lizkor tomid u'lahamshech latzmoy kedusha Shabbos bimei achoyel b'choleis. Because we know the Torah tells us that a Jew is supposed to try to draw upon himself the holiness of Shabbos at all times, even during the 6 days of the week, to try to draw from Shabbos. V'zeh bechinas ma shekosuv b'soif ha'maisa shel abonim shenechlefu. And this is also what we find in the Sefer Sipurei Maisius, the 13 stories that Rabbeinu Zal told, fantastic stories, the 11th story is the story of the Prince of the Pauper, a story about a person who came from royalty and a person who was the son of a maid, and somehow the maidservant switched them both around at birth and everything that happened in the process. And all the way towards the end of the story, it discusses a certain garden, a very special garden, which the moment the person enters into that garden, they feel themselves being chased. And the person starts running and running, and they can't stop running. And even though the garden is so beautiful, they can't appreciate it, they can't benefit from it, because they're just running from fear. And they don't even know what's chasing them. And Rabbeinu Zal said over there, Kishemegarshin esotam, that when the person feels themselves being chased, yamoy datzmoy etzel Shabbos, the person should stand next to Shabbos, and that'll save him. That'll stop the train, like. Ki Shabbos ogin al odom arishoin, ayin shom, because we know that the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that when Odom and Chava committed the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas, it was on Friday afternoon. Don't forget that Adam and Chava were created on Friday, Yom Shishi of creation. And they suddenly got onto a train that was going very fast in the wrong direction. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Shabbos came along and Shabbos protected them, Shabbos saved them. Hainu Bechinas Hanal, this is related to what we spoke about. Bechinas Dori Kruch Yedekanyo Itpach. That when the person feels himself in that quicksand, in those bilbulim, the person should just stop and stand still. And that's how he'll be able to save himself from these bad thoughts. And then he'll be able to locate the exit signs. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, what we're telling you here is extremely important advice that applies to everybody. However, one who is as great as Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Yochel al yidei ze shivate l'atzmoy b'chol pam b'china Shabbos, Leroy says kol hapsochim shel atuma sheim pischei de be'atuna v'leilech l'shom u'l'shabrom u'l'onicham. One who's on the level of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, when he does this bitul, this can actually help him locate the exits and the entrances of the Sitra Achra,
and thereby give him the ability to torpedo them, you know, to wipe them out, to destroy them completely.
Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ozal Ashkach Darbanoi Migavoi V'Darbanoi Mibroi.
So Rabbi Shuben Hanya came there, he arrived there, and he found that there were killers on the outside, there were guards on the outside, and guards on the inside. Upirish Rashi, Rashi says over there, Oirvin, ones who lie in waiting, you know, to kill somebody, chas v'shalom, to ambush the person like. Shero shom oirvim harbe, sho'irvim alodom lohorgoi kishiskarf aleim. He saw many soldiers there, like, lying in ambush, lying in waiting, to kill a person who comes near there. Ki hu hamesis, hu amastin, hu hahoirig. This is exactly what we said before, because the same angel, that's the one who seduces a person to commit the sin, he's the same one who ends up prosecuting him, and he's the same one who ends up shooting him. Ki betchilo hu v'chayeloisov masis nesodom shichnos l'sham. Because in the beginning, this Sitra Achra and all of his soldiers try to seduce a person to come to them, to ensnare him in their trap. V'teketh kishiroitzim lichnos l'sham. However, as soon as the person agrees to come along with them, hergim oisoy al piroiv miyad. They kill him immediately, kinira bechush, as we see in real life. Ki rabim asher mesu miyad, kisherotzu leskarav aleim, koidim sheyichnesu l'shom. Because there are many Jews, rachmona litzlan, lo yaleinu, who made a decision to go off the path, off the Jewish path, and to go on to some other path, and before they had a chance to even get fully involved in the other path, when they just approached there, they were killed in the process, either killed physically or killed spiritually. V'yesh shenichnesu l'sham, there are some who enter inside mamish, ve'ein manichem oisei lotzeis, and once they get in, they're not allowed to leave ever again. Ki hargo oisei miyad, because if the person tries to leave, they'll be killed immediately. V'zehu shero, and this is what Rabbi Yishuv ben Hanya saw. Darbanoi migavoi v'darbanoi mevroi, sheyoshvim sham oirvim harbe mibayis u'michutz, that there are many lying in ambush there, on the inside and on the outside. V'i chozi kara da'ili katli lehu levroi, whereby if they see footsteps leading inside, then the outer guards get killed. U'denafka, if they see footsteps going out, katlal hulagavoi, then the guards on the inside get killed. So they know that their lives are in jeopardy if they dare allow anybody to come in or leave. She'im roitze lichnois, so that if a person wants to enter, hergim mibachutz, they kill on the outside. V'im roitze lotzeis, and if anybody who's already ensnared in their trap wants to get released, hergim mibifnim, they kill on the inside. Because there's a pasuk in Mishle that says, Ki chol bo'eho loy yeshuvun. All those that enter into this path, loy yeshuvun, they'll never return. It's a yurida, it's a fall where the person cannot, v'lo yasigu orchos chayim, and the person will never get back to life, to the path of life. This refers to those chas v'shalom who stray from Yiddishkeit and fall into philosophy, they fall into the wrong type of thoughts, the wrong types of ideology and thoughts and philosophical thought, which is referred to as a one-way ticket, chas v'shalom. It's a one-way ticket down. I once saw in the Sefer B'nai Yisachar, which is one of the outstanding Hasidic Sforim, he brings, if I'm not mistaken, in the introduction, he or one of his descendants mentions, he has a major discussion there in the Hakdama to one of his Sforim about the study of philosophy. And he says there, he quotes this pasuk, and he says, just a second, exactly, that the first letters of Kol Bo'eho Loi Yeshuvun spell the word Bichel, Beis Yud Chof Lamed, which in Yiddish means books. A Bichel means a book. And he says this refers to those philosophy books, Rachman al-San, which again in Yiddish they used to refer to a person who's reading those books. Sforim Chitzonim they're called. He's reading Bichlach. He's not reading the Torah. He decided not to learn Torah, but rather to get involved in those other books. And the word Bichl is Roshei Tevois, Kol Bo'eho Lo Yeshuvun, that those that enter into there become ensnared and entrapped and they can't get back. They can't find their way back to simple, pure faith in Hashem. Uchsiv, and there's another pasuk that says, Darkei She'ol Beisa, that her house is the path of She'ol. She'ol is the lowest of the seven levels of Gehenna. So now the Gemara says over there, Afchei L'Sandalei, so Rabbi Shimon Hanya played a little trick. He took his shoes, and he put them in this sand. He made tracks going inside, and then he ran away. Katli Lahula Gavoi. So that these wise men of Athens, when they went to check, they observed it. So they killed the outer guards. They had the outer guards put to death. The next day, Apchi L'Sandalei, he took off his shoe and he made footsteps pointing as if somebody had gone out from inside. Katlinu Lakulu. So they ended up murdering the inside guards. So all the guards had been killed. And before they had a chance to replace the guards, he went ahead and snuck in. Hainu. Kish, this means. Kishero Rabbi Shua ben Hananya shenoifel olof pachad. Kishero tzalichnois l'sham. When Rabbi Shua ben Hananya experienced fear, tremendous fear, about wanting to go inside there, because he saw all of these guards on the outside and on the inside, he said to himself, obviously, the reason why I'm experiencing fear, the reason why I'm afraid of him is because I haven't purified myself yet completely. Va'adayin yesh bi eiza achizas haguf. And I still have some gashmius inside of me. I still have some kesher to gashmius. And that's why when I come close to the place of the Sitra Achra, I become petrified because I still feel that I'm vulnerable to them. That's what makes me fearful of them. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 8 in Likutei Moran, which we referred to before on the previous page, Al Maimar Rabba Bar Barchona, regarding the story of Rabba Bar Barchona there, where he said, Dilma Shaklis Midi Minayhu, Ayin Shom, maybe you've taken something from them, and that's why you can't escape them. There in the story, again, it's referring to a similar circumstance about somebody who went into the place of the Sitra Achra, and he tried to leave, and he couldn't. So they said to him, maybe the reason why you can't get out is because you took something from them, and they're not willing to release you. And the way Rabbeinu Zal explained it was, maybe the reason why you can't escape them is because you still have some part of you that's not completely pure. And when somebody is not 100% pure and he comes in contact with the Sitra Achra, he's vulnerable to them. They can grab hold of him and not release him, chas v'shalom. Ahadrinu ni'alei, so Rabba Bar Barchona returned, so the person returned the object to them, Hodor Mistagilon, and then he was able to leave. He was able to be released. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 8 in Likutei Moran. Shemavur Shom, Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, Shemi Sheroitze Lohoyer Desatzme Latzinur Harashil Horishoim, Sheyon Kimehem, that a person who wants to lower himself into the place of the Sitra Achra, into the pipe of the Sitra Achra, of the Rishoim, the place where they're drawing their energy from, Tzorich sheye noki mehaguf betachlis hazikuch. That person must be 100% pure from the guf, from the body. Ad shelo yishur lo shum shemetz bi'alma mitayvas haguf, whereby that person does not have any trace whatsoever of physical desires, of gashmius, any kesher to gashmius, where the gashmius has any type of hold over him whatsoever. And a person who is like that, a tzaddik gomur, He has the ability to go into the Sitra Achra, torpedo them, and get out. V'alkein, and therefore, going back to our story, apche lesandale katli lehu. Look at the wording that's used here. Rabbi Shu ben Hanya took his shoe, he turned it one way, and he killed part of the Sitra Achra. Then he turned it the opposite way, he turned it inside out like, and he killed the other section of the Sitra Achra. Look what Rav Nosson Zal says here now. Sandal zeha guf. The shoe refers to the body. Kemo shekosu bezoyer HaKodesh al posuk shal niolecho me'al raglecho. As the Zoyer HaKodesh explains, when it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's, one of Moshe Rabbeinu's first meetings with Hashem, if you recall, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the vision of the burning thorn bush, and he was about to approach, and Hashem said to him, remove your shoes, because the place that you're standing in is a very holy place. Atmas Kodeshu. So the Zohar HaKodesh says there, Na'al do gufa, that the shoe symbolizes the body. The Nogabe bas Paroi, which had been touched by the hands of the daughter of Paro. If you recall, when Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the river, and Bas Paroi came and rescued him from there. She took him out of the basket and brought him home to the palace. And he was raised in the palace of Paroi. So the Zohar HaKodesh is implying that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had this contact with Paroi, with Paroi's daughter, with Paroi, there was a certain trace of a certain type of tumah, chas v'shalom, which in order for him to come close to the Shekhinah, he had to disengage from that completely. He had to remove his shoes. He had to strip himself of the body, of the guf, as the Zohar HaKadosh says there. Dehainu sheyesh boi eiza achiza v'reach bi'alma me'eiza taiva. Meaning, this is referring to a person who has the slightest trace of even an odor of any type of physical desire.
Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein be'emes shamanu mimenu zal, and that's why we heard from Rabbeinu Zal, she'tzrichim lezakech es haguf ad shelo yishar boi reach bi'alma, that a person has to purify his body to the point where there shouldn't even be any odor of sin or anything that resembles that. Kiyesh tzadikim sheshovru hataivos, because there are tzadikim who succeeded in breaking their evil desires. Avalu kamoi oyer shoyden oisoy vadayin nishar boi ezareach. However, their bodies could be compared to like a hide that has been processed, but it still has some of that foul odor in it that hasn't been removed completely. Whereas a person has to purify himself to the point where there isn't even any trace at all whatsoever of an odor of taivas haguf, of the physical desires. V'omar and Rabbeinu Zal commented about this, shetzrichin lezakech haguf kemoi oyer shemabden oisoi, that a person has to purify his body in the same way that a tanner processes a hide, where he turns it over on both sides, he processes it so well to the point where there is no foul smell to it whatsoever. And this is what's meant in the story when it said he turned his shoe around, and as a result of that, they killed the guards on the inside. Dahainu shehivshit es atzmoy me'aguf shu b'chinas nal v'sandal legamri. We had said before that the shoes represented the body. We brought the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was told, remove your shoes, because the place that you're standing in is a very holy place. And the Zohar HaKodesh had said that the shoes referred to the body. So that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya stripped his body from his physical desires. V'zeh b'chinas afchei lesandalei shezikech es atzmai kol kach kemoi shemahapchen es oyer kanal. And that's why the wording that's used is, he turned around his shoe, meaning he purified his body to such an extent, the same way that somebody turns over a hide. They turn over the hide completely, you know, that it's being in its processing. Ki kishezikech es atzmoi me'achiz es haguf, al yidei zeh hichnia oisam v'horgom k'tzas. Because when he purified himself from the bodily desires, that gave him the ability to subdue them and to kill them to a degree, but not completely. Ki kifi hazikuch shehodo mezakech es atzmoi, kein hoire gumachnia es chayolo es hasitrachra. Because to the degree that a person purifies himself, to that degree he succeeds in killing and subduing the armies of the Sitra Achra. Vizehu apche lesandale pam shenis. And this is why it says over there in the Gemara that he turned around the shoe the other way, he reversed the shoes. Hainu shechozar vizikech esatzmoy oid, bezikuch achar zikuch. This means that he went ahead and purified himself again, a second purification, second time and third time, etc. Bitziruf achar tziruf, one refinement after another. Ad de kotlinu lekulu, until he succeeded in having all of them killed. Kialidei shezikech atzmai bezikuch achar zikuch, shezeo b'chinas apchi lesandalei beiz pomin, because by his purifying himself and then repurifying himself, that's what succeeded in murdering and eliminating all the klipos, all the forces of tumah. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains a very interesting piece here. The Gemara says over there that Rabbi Yishuv ben Hanya went, he entered into the place where these 70 wise men of Athens were. And he observed Ozal. He went in. Ashkach. He found Yenuke Mileel Visove Mitatoi. He found that there was a balcony and there was a lower level. On the lower level were sitting the elders, and in the balcony were sitting the younger wise men. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Ze muvon lo mishaboki bedarchem shel hamisnagdim aloemis. This is something that anyone that has had experience with people who oppose the emes knows very, very well. And when we talk about people who oppose the emes, Rav Nosson Zal says we're talking about two groups. Hein ho'iskin b'chochmois chitzonius shel philosophia, whether we're talking about people who are involved in the study of philosophy and thereby oppose religion, they oppose Torah Shebal Peh, they challenge, they question the validity, the authenticity of Torah Shebal Peh. They question the greatness of Tzadikim. They question Torah Misinai. They question the concept of Emunas Tzadikim in general. That's one group. And secondly, Hein Afilu HaMisnagdim Shebein Yisrael HaKsherim Biatzmon. The second group who are Misnagdim to the Emes are religious people, supposedly religious, fully religious people, who oppose a particular rabbi or a particular group, as in the case of the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik, who was certainly very orthodox, very Haredi, and despite that, they came to the conclusion that Yosef HaTzadik, who was by far the greatest among them, it was a mitzvah to kill him. And as we had in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu being opposed by the 250 Roshei Sanhedrin, as we had in the case of the Arizal, the opposition that he had during his time, the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh during his time, and Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson Zal during their times. Shenisrabe HaKategorio, whereby we know that unfortunately the Machloikis has grown. V'yesh Misnagdim Harbe Al Nekuda Soemes. There are many, many people who oppose the truest presentation of Yiddishkeit. Umarbin b'machloikis, and they turn up the fire in terms of machloikis. They're very serious about making machloikis against what they perceive to be no good. Ubechol elu hamisnagdim, and now regarding all of these assorted types of misnagdim, the word neged means against. Darcheim, their methodology is as follows. She'ikar horiv v'hamachloikis v'haisnagdus mo'irim b'nei hanu'urim. The main ones who are involved in the battle, the main fighters, are the youth, the younger guys. Shehem koifetzim baroish. The Gemara tells us that we have a rule, hed yoit koifetz baroish, that when there's an assembly of people, when there's a meeting, and there are 15 people in a meeting, usually the guy who speaks up first is the youngest guy, whom you would think logically it makes the most sense for him to sit and be quiet and wait to hear the elder, his elders express their opinion and their understanding, and he would feel that it's only logical and reasonable that he should speak last. We have that rule of hedyot koifetz baroish, that unfortunately, the younger the guy, the more chutzpah he has, the more he feels he knows better than anybody else. Umeizin penehem neged aksherim hoamitim hoiskim b'avoidotamo b'tfilah b'kavonot. And these people have the chutzpah, they show chutzpah against very religious people who are serving Hashem with sincerity, davening with kavonah. Upoyarim piem aleim, they open up an ugly mouth to them. Umevazim oisam harbe, they insult them terribly. Be'azus godo, with tremendous chutzpah. That's this younger group. V'hamisnagdim hazakenim, whereas the elders, the guys who are in the 60 year and above bracket, 60, 70 and above bracket, those misnagdim, yoshvim milamato, they sit downstairs, v'nirim kishoiskim, and they give the appearance as if they're not saying anything. They're not fighting, they're not involved in any machloikas in any obvious way. Ach mitzad echod heim gruim yoiser. However, in a certain respect, the elders are even worse than the youths. Ki kol hamachloikas nitzmach mehem, because the machloikas originates from them. They're the ones who initiated it. They're the ones who planted the seeds for this. Al yidei dibureim horoim shehichnisu bebnei anurim, through the terrible things that they injected into their young students when they teach them, and they make fun of chassidim, or they make fun of kabbalah, or they make fun of all of these kinds of things. This is what, and again, they say it in their classrooms to their students. The students are the ones who go out and they'll be in a shul with someone who's a chosid, or someone who's a bal tshuva, who's davening with kavana, and they'll be the ones who will look at him and actually make fun of him, rachmon litzlan, etc., etc. Rak hazikenim, machmas shekvar emohem resicha sadamim kolkach, al kein heim nirim ki yoshvim olamata v'shoiskim. These elders, simply because they don't have the fight in them anymore, they don't have that hot blood in them anymore, that's why they appear to be sitting silently, as if they're not involved in a fight. They're not fighters. Avul be'emes mitzad echod heim gruim yoiser kanal. However, in a certain respect, they are worse. V'zeo b'chinas yinuki mele'el v'sovi mele'sato. And this is why the Gemara says there that the youths were above and the elders were below, meaning that the youths have a certain advantage over the elders, and we'll come to it soon. Omar, so Rabbi Shulam Chanya said to himself, Iyehivne Shlomo Lahani, if I greet this group first, Katli Lehani, then the second group will say I deserve to be killed. Savri Anan Adefinon, the Asvin Eleel, because the youth, let's say if he greets the elders first who are sitting below, the youths will say, he deserves death penalty. He should have known the fact that we're sitting upstairs, we're sitting above, shows that we're the more important ones. And the fact that he didn't show the proper respect by greeting us first, he deserves death penalty. On the other hand, Yehivna Lahani, if I show respect to the youths first, if I greet them first, then the elders will say I deserve death penalty. They'll say, because Anana Definan, Anan Kshishi, we're the more important ones because we're older. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Kiyesh b'chol echod chisoro inu maila, because in each one of these two groups, there's an advantage and a disadvantage. Ki b'nei hana'urim sheyesh lohem azus godol ma'oid, because the youths who have tremendous chutzpah on one hand, v'koifzin ma'oid levazois es hayishorim ho'amitim, and they express themselves brazenly, openly. They come out in an ugly way, showing chutzpah and disrespect to tzaddikim, to people who have true yira shemayim. Avol yesh bohem mitzad echad maila. But on the other hand, they have a certain advantage, machma she'adayin heim bnei hanaurim, because of the fact that they're still young, v'lo yizkinu adayin bedarcheim v'laday tomoro. They haven't become very, very well entrenched in their wrong derech. And therefore, al kein hoyoev shel adaber imohem, lizvakeach imohem, lenatzchom lo shiva malemes. Therefore, by them, there exists the possibility of debating them and winning and turning them around, getting them to do tshuva. There are cases of this today, and there was a case during Rav Nosenzahl, one of Rav Nosenzahl's closest students, his name was Reb Oizer, and he at one time was involved in making major machlokes, showing tremendous chutzpah to Rabbi Nachman. And then a short while later, somehow somebody engaged him in conversation, and it seems they opened his eyes and he felt tremendous charoto. And he came to Rav Nosenzahl and he said to him, "What can I do? I didn't know. And I was one of those people who showed tremendous chutzpah to Rabbi Nachman." So Rav Nosenzahl told him, "There's a Shulchan Aruch. The halacha says that if a person insulted or embarrassed somebody, and the one they embarrassed is no longer living, you take a minyan and you go to their gravesite and you apologize there in front of them, in front of a minyan." So this Rabbi Yisrael did this, and he became one of the very loyal, devoted, committed Breslov Hasidim. And there have been many, many cases like this. K'may Shekosov Admor Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes, Shebnei Hanurim Bikal Lohoshivoysam Yoysam Yaskenim, that it's much easier to turn around a young person than it is a person who's older, who's much more set in their ways. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutei Moran, chapter 206, on the pasuk in Tehillim, "Toisi kese oived," I've wandered, I've drifted away like a lost sheep. Avol hazakenim yoishvim lamato. However, the elders, they're sitting downstairs. V'afal pi shehem shoiskim v'nirim she'enam chafetzim b'machlokes, and even though they're basically quiet and they give an appearance as if they're not violent, they're not into machlokes at all. Avol heim enam manichim lafoich das bnei anurim elam eslamitoi. However, they stand strong, blocking those people who would want to try to open the eyes of the youths to get them to see the emes. They're standing there blocking that, ensuring that their youth will not be available to listen to, you know, anything other than the ideology that they're feeding them. Ki kvar nishtar shu bedaitom hanavoicha, because they have become solidly entrenched in their mistaken ideologies. That's on one hand. V'chein bo'ifen echod, yucholin ledaber mazikenim yoiser, mach meshen lem resicha sadamim kolkach. On the other hand, sometimes there's an advantage with the elders in the fact that they're not as hot-blooded, they're more calm, and they're not so much looking for a fight, you know, enthusiastic in a sense of, you know, looking for something to argue about, something to fight about. So sometimes it's possible to get through to them more easily in a sense. Avolos yikvetsu bnei anurim v'yoyizu pneim v'yomru she'enam ashgich malazkenim she'enam chafetzim b'machlokes ke'anachnu aleil. But even so, even if you convince the zakenim already, the youths sometimes have such chutzpah that they'll say they won't even listen to their own zakenim. They're looking for a fight, and they'll rush forward despite the fact, even if their own elders try to hold them back. V'zehu, and this is what Rabbi Shulman Chananya meant when he said, if I greet this group, then the other ones will kill me. And if I greet the second group, then the first group will kill me. Meaning, that whichever group I defeat here, it's not necessarily a complete victory yet, because I still have to contend with the other group. Omar. So therefore, Rabbi Shu ben Chanya said, Shlomo lechu, greetings to all. Sheomar sheyesh loy koyach lasos shalom im kulam. He was expressing the fact that he has the ability to make peace and to be at peace with all of them, with both groups. Im hanaurim vehaskenim. Dehainu sheyenatzeach es kulam. He has the ability to defeat both of them, all of them. Ki hanitzochon shel hatzadik ho'emes u'bechinas shalom. Because the victory of the true tzaddik is a victory of peace. Ki einoy chofetz b'shum nitzochon kiim legaloi soemes. Because he is not interested in any kind of victory. He's not interested in showing anybody up, in making anybody else look bad, in proving to them that they're wrong. He's simply interested in revealing the emes, lasos lahem toivo nitzchis, to do an eternal favor to these people, to help them out eternally. V'alkein hatzadik nikro ish sholom. And this is why the tzadik is called the man of peace. Bechinas, as Dovra Melech says, ani sholom, I am peace. Ki ikar ha-sholoim hu kishem ha-pchim das ho-dom elu emes, b'chinas ho-emes v'ha-sholoim ho-havu. Rav Nosson Zal says a tremendous important thing here. He says the real definition of peace is when we're zeicha to take people who are not part of the emes and bring them close to the emes, to open their eyes to the emes. As the pasuk says, Ho emes v'hashalom ohavu. Peace alone is not good. The person says, there's a guy that just murdered 20 people. He's got a 44 Magnum in his hand. And he walked into a crowded room, and he just shot 44 people. And there's one guy left in the room, and the guy walks over to him, and he raises his hand and says, peace, my brother. I love you. You're a wonderful, sweet guy. That's peace. We say the guy has to be locked up in a insane asylum. Peace with that person is either to put a bullet through his head or to get the gun out of his hand to make sure he doesn't get his 45th customer. But the definition of peace is only when it's preceded by emes, where there's truth, where there's an honest peace. That's where there's peace. Just like Rav Nosson Zal explains, Rav Enzal explains, we say in Shachris, emes ve'emuna choyk v'lo yavler. Truth and faith are an inseparable entity. Meaning, because a person says, I believe. He's looking at a table, and he says, I believe that this is an ice cream cone. That's not belief, that's not faith. That's insanity. That's nuttiness. Faith is only when a person has an understanding of emes, when a person knows what's true, what's real, and they believe in that, that's a faith. There's a lot to say about this topic, to explain it and clarify, but I'm making the point here also about shalom. Rav Nosson Zal makes a very, very important statement here, that shalom is only when it's perceived. There's a pasuk, Ein shalom omar Hashem lo rishoim. Hashem is not at peace with Rishoim. The peace begins, the prerequisite for peace is emes. To the degree that a person shows a willingness, now a person would say, then hold on a second, then you mean to say that I'm only allowed to be at peace with those people who I believe are 100 billion percent emes? And anyone who's only 99% emes, it's a mitzvah of me to make machlokas with them? The answer is that's not what we're saying. We're saying that in order for there to be any opening for peace, it has to be preceded by a certain degree of emes. Once a person shows a willingness and a sincerity and an openness to hear the truth, even 1% or 5%, then it's possible to negotiate a peace with that person and to develop it further and to grow. But if to the degree that a person is completely unwilling to accept emes whatsoever, with such a person there's no mitzvah of shalom. Ki lehepech chas v'shalom, ein zeh shalom. Because when there's no emes, when you're dealing with pure sheker, there is no shalom. Hainu, im yirtzu chas v'sholem sheyaskim hoemes el hasheker, ein ze sholem. If the bad guys will say, hey, let's make peace, you come and join us, that's not peace. Ki kushto koi. Because the Gemara says the truth will succeed in the end. It will stand up solidly. Usfas emes tikoin load. And the truth will be established permanently, eternally. Ve'yefsher sheyishapech hoemes el hasheker. And it's impossible for the truth to be converted to falsehood. V'alkein k'siv ein sholoim omar Hashem lo reshoim. And it's for this reason that there's a pasuk that says, Hashem says there is no peace with the reshoim. Ki kol zman shehem reshoim v'noitim achar hasheker, because so long as they insist on being reshoim, and they're not willing, they're not showing any interest at all whatsoever in moving towards emes, it is impossible to be at peace with them. Because the truth will never disintegrate, will never be eliminated completely. And therefore, when the tzaddik succeeds in defeating those who oppose the emes, Ze ikar hasholim, that is the essence of peace. Vezehu shomar lohem shlomo lechu. And this is why Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya's greeting to these two groups was peace unto all of you. Dahainu shehu yochel natzeach kulam. He was expressing the fact that he has the ability to defeat all of them. To convert them to the truth, to get them to admit to the truth completely. Shezehu bechinas sholoim. That's the real peace. Ki afal pi sheyoshim yinukam aleo v'sovim itatoi, even though the youths are sitting above and the elders are sitting below, shalideze yevshel esvakeachimoim, which makes it very, very hard to debate them, because each group has its own unwillingness to submit and its own willingness to even be willing to listen to the truth. Afal pikein yesh koyach b'hatzadik hagodol lahachniyom ulanatzeach shneim yachad. The great tzaddik has the ability to defeat both of them. Ki kvar hofach sandaloi shnei pomim, because he has already turned his shoe around both ways, meaning sheposhat esatzmoi me'aguf. He has purified himself and refined himself again and again. He's gone through purification after purification. And that's what gives him the ability to even defeat both groups in one sitting, when they're both in the room at the same time. This is why he said this greeting, peace be unto, peace with all of you. What Rav Nosson Zal is saying here, he himself lived this in a very, very big way. Number one, the city of Uman was the center of the Haskalah movement at that time, and Rabbeinu Zal himself engaged a group of three of the leaders of the Haskalah in discussions, and he got them to be Chozer B'Tshuva. There are several stories written about this in the Breslov Sforum, about a Dr. Landau and Herr Schber, a father-in-law and his two sons-in-law, whom Rabbeinu Zal befriended when he first came into Uman. They first came to attack him. And these three had made a pact between them that they would never, ever utter the word G-O-D on their lips, that they weren't allowed to ever mention that word for their entire lives. That's how assimilated they were. That's how anti-Jewish they were. And the father-in-law, the last Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah that Rabbi Nachman gave his last shir, he was a very wealthy person, and the maid came to shul to bring him coffee, like in the morning. And he looked at her and said, I'm going to drink before tekiah, before shofar blowing? This was one of the leaders of the Haskalah movement who had been turned around to such an extent at the time by Rabbeinu Zal. And Rav Nosson Zal had encountered them, he had been through a lot with them, Rabbein Azal had told his other students that none of them have permission to speak to these three other than Rav Nosson Zal. And then Rav Nosson Zal had the machlokes from the religious people, the very chassidim at that time, Savrana chassidim and others, who put out a contract on him, where it was said at the time it was a mitzvah to kill him. It was a mitzvah to maser him to the Russian government. They got him put in prison. Those that are familiar with the story know. So Rav Nosson Zal here is talking from first-hand experience, explaining the ideology and the psychology of how the misnagdim work. Omru Lei, they said to him, Maya Vidatech, what do you do? Who are you? Omar Lahu, he said to them, Chakimo de Yehudo Yana, I am a Chacham of the Yehudim. I am a Chacham of Yahadut. Sheheshiv Lohem Shehu Chacham Yehudi, meaning Shekol Chachmosai Hurak Chachmos HaYahadus. He was saying to them, my wisdom, my knowledge is only in one, I have one area, and that's Yiddishkeit. Shehi Chochmo Tachlisit. That's the only Chochmo that really has a purpose, an eternal purpose. Ki ein lo shum Chochmo shel Hevel. He was telling them that he's not involved, he's not cultured, he hasn't studied the cultures of the world. Hein chochmos chitzonius shel philosophia mamish, whether it be philosophy, the study of challenging religion, you know, of questioning faith. Hein chochmos olam, or even other chochmos of the world. Rakol chochmosai hi chochma yehudis. But rather, all of his knowledge is Yiddishkeit. Eich lahasig es hatachlis hanitzchi. How to be zeicha to get to the eternal goal. Sho'iskem bozeh Klal Yisrael, which is what Klal Yisrael is involved in. Shalkei nemar aleim, and it's because of that that the Torah says about Klal Yisrael, Rak am chochom v'novoin hagoy hagodol azeh, that there'll come a time when all nations of the world will realize that the Jewish people are am chochom v'novoin. Aval hamoinam yocheliyoy shemisarev b'chochmosay eze chochmo shel chutz, the regular people, by them it's possible that they've gotten involved in some chochmas chitzonius also. Aval ano chakimo di Yehudoi, whereas I am a chocham of Yahadus, shekol chochmosi hi rak chochmas hayahadus loizulas. My knowledge is only in the area of Yiddishkeit, all facets of Torah, which includes mathematics, it includes those other wisdoms, some of them, but I got it only from the Torah. Asoy lemigmar chochma minaychu, and I've come to learn from you. This is what Rabbi Shuvan Hanya said to them. Ki ani chozok bedaiti sha'ani yochel lekabel chochma gam mikem, because I am positive, I am confident that I could learn even from you. Ki be'emes mi shehu chochom amiti yochel lekabel chochmo uremozem leskarev lashem izborach afilu mitoikef hasitrachro umichachmei umay soilom. Because the truth is, a person who is really a complete chochom, a tzaddik mamish, you know, and a chochom b'tachlis hashlemus, he has the ability to learn and to find ways to come close to Hashem, even from the super sitrachra, even from the chachmei umay soilam, from secular academics. Ki b'chol mokoim yesh behelam eze toiv, because everywhere, even in the chachmas of the world, there is good that's hidden there. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, b'chol mokoim muktor mugish l'shmi, that everywhere, even in the places of Avodah Zarah, it's really worshipping Hashem. You know, there is a spark of good there. Rak sheshar bnei adam asurim lesakein atzmon lichnois l'shom shloi enilkat shom chashom. It's just that for regular people, for them it's forbidden for them to study, to get involved in these chochmos chitzonius, because for them it's dangerous. They can get ensnared there and trapped there. Aval hatzadik yochel lekabel chochmo gam mehem. Whereas the true tzadik, he even has the ability to draw chochmo from them. Bebechinas esehu chacham haloy made me kolodom. As the mission says, who is a chacham? One who learns from everybody. Rav Nosson Zal's putting a little spin on that. Rav Nosson Zal's saying, who is qualified to be loy made me kolodom? You have to be a chacham first. It's only one who is super, super solid in chachmai satoira. He's qualified to be able to learn from everybody. He has reshus to learn from everybody. V'zehu asoi lemigmar chochma minaychu. That's why he said to them, I've come to learn chochma from you. Ki ani yochel lekabel chochma gam mikem kanal. Because I am able to receive chochma even from you. That I've come to learn wisdom from you. And then these 70 wise men of Athens responded, then we would like to ask you some questions. So Rav Nosson Zal says, the Meforshim ask on this, Mai Ihochi, why are they saying to him, okay, if you've come to learn from us, then can we please ask you some questions? Adarabba, just the opposite. Halayhu Amar Shabol Ilmoid Mehem, he's the one who's saying he came to learn from them. However, based on what we explained earlier, we could understand this very well. Ki hevinu, because they understood that the fact that he said, I've come to learn wisdom from you, wasn't an acknowledgement that he's short on wisdom, and therefore he's come to these people who have so much more than him, you know, and they have so much to teach him. Adarabba, just the opposite. By doing this, he showed how confident he was and how powerful he was in the true chachma. That he's so confident and strong in the chachma satoira, whereby he's not afraid at all that he's going to be trapped in any foolishness of theirs, in any wrongdoing of theirs. Rak yochel lekabel chochma gam mehem kanal, but rather he even has the ability to receive chochma from them. Al kein shapir omrulei, therefore it's very appropriate that they said to him, Ihochi, that if that's the case, in other words, based on what you're telling us, sha'ato chochom kol kach, that you're so great a chochma in chochma of kedusha, that you have the ability to receive from us. You even can receive from us. Then niboy minach. Then we'd like to ask you some questions. Omar lahem. So he responded to them, lechayai, that I said it in a lashon of shvua, I zechisu li, if you defeat me in our debate, then kol deboy savidu, anything you'll ask of me, I'll do. Izachina lechu, if I defeat you, ichlu namo gaboy didi besvinto, then I insist that you come to join me on my ship to eat bread with me. Ze bechinas imroiv sonacho hachileu lechem. Rav Nosson Zal explains this invitation for them to come and join him and eat bread. This invitation was based on the pasuk that says, if your enemy is starving, feed him. V'dor Shirazal, and the Gemara says, this refers to lachmoy shel Torah, feed him the bread of Torah. Hainu shani roitze lehetev lochem, im anatzeach eschem, shetoichlu etzli milechem chidushei Torosi besvinta. I want, if I defeat you, if I prove to you how the greatness of Torah and everything, then I want you to come and join me. I want you to come and learn from me. On my ship, Shubachinas Klal HaTorah, in other words, within my ocean of Torah. Uboze Yelahem Nisoyon, and this was to be a test to them. Im Yirtzu Yoshuvu Elohemes, if they want, this will be an opportunity for them to do tshuva, to return to the truth. Sheboze Chofetz HaTzadik Oemes Moid. This is what the Tzaddik Emes really wants. He really wants that everybody should be zeuchet to do tshuva. Vim lav, and if not, yiskayim bohem soif hamikro ki gecholim atochos al roishoi. And if they refuse, if they're not sincere, then the last part of the pasuk would be fulfilled in them. That by being fed, he would be putting hot coals on their head. v'chulu, etc. V'hinei kol, paragraph test, v'hinei kol ha'shailos shelahem u'tshuvos Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya kvar gilo admor zal niflois ha'soydo shebahem b'darcho yanoiro k'nitvas kvar b'sifro yakodosh. The great revelations that are found in this debate with them, a lot of this has already been, there have been tremendous secrets revealed about this in Likutei Moran by Rabbi Nachman in several chapters in Likutei Moran. Ach mokoin hiniach li hasipur shemikoidem hashailos v'achrov. However, Rabbi Nachman did not address the story. He just addressed the items in the debate. He did not address the story that precedes the debate, what happened before the debate and after the debate. V'gam beiz shailos, and also two of the questions that were raised in the debate between Rabbi Shimon Chanya and these 70 wise men, Rabbi Nachman does not write about. Va'ani oni ve'evyoin, eilech be'ikvoisov. Rav Nosson Zal says, I, a poor beggar, will follow in the footsteps of Rabbi Nachman, levarom, to explain these two presentations in the debate, kifi aniyus daiti, to the best of my ability, kiyad Hashem hatoiv olai, to the degree that Hashem blesses me with the ability to clarify this. And now he's going to take two of the items in the debate, one by one, he'll present the debate, and then he'll explain it. Number one, Gavra, on the right side, where it says Gemara. Gavra do'iziv v'torif. A person who lends money to someone, and the person who he lends the money to does not pay back, and the lender ends up being forced to go to a cosigner or to a third party and collect from the third party, my chozu do'hod aroiziv. Why in the world would this person in his right mind go ahead and lend money again to someone? Omar lohu, this was the question that they asked to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Omar lohu, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said to them, let me give you a mashal for this. Let me show you what this is comparable to. Ozil gavra liagma, a man went to a swampy area, kotal kamotino, he cut a bunch of reeds, like a bunch of bamboo sticks, and he couldn't find anybody to help him carry these sticks to where he needed to go. What does he do? Kotil umanachale. He keeps cutting more sticks, more reeds, until somebody comes along who's able to help him with his bundles of reeds. This was his response. This was the give and take. Take a look in Rashi on the left. Do'iziv v'torif, shehil v'mois lechaveroi. If somebody, if Reuven lent money to Shimon, v'loi nifram imenu, and Shimon did not pay, kiim bekoshi, Reuven only got his money back, you know, through great difficulty, shetoraf lekuchos, whereby Reuven was forced to go to someone who had bought something from Shimon within the loan period. For example, let's say on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Reuven lent Shimon $1,000 for a month, till Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av comes, Shimon refuses to pay, he doesn't have any money, etc. What happens is, in such a case, Reuven is allowed to do a search, and if he sees that from Rosh Chodesh Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Av, Shimon sold off some property or some other possessions, if, assuming this loan was written down, there was a shtar for it, Reuven has the right to go to that third party, the one who made the purchase from Shimon, and say, sorry, Charlie, you should have investigated. You should have done a search first to see if Shimon had any outstanding debts before you bought anything from him. He owed me money, and now he says he doesn't have what to pay, and since you bought it after I had loaned him the money, that property that you bought was already obligated to me, you know, as collateral for my loan. And he goes ahead and takes away the property from Levi. Continuing in Rashi, my chozi dehota oiziv lachrini. Why in the world would Reuven, who went through this difficulty, be willing to go ahead and lend money now to someone else? V'loi nisiaser min orishon, like he didn't have enough from this first situation, you know, to get him to decide that he'll never lend money again. La'agma, Yar, Agma means a forest or a swampy area. Kotal kamotino, chotach chavila rishoina, he cut a first set of wood or reeds, v'loimotzi be'loharimoy al shichmoy, and he couldn't lift it up on his shoulders. There was nobody to help him pick it up on his shoulders for him to be able to carry it. What does he do? Hodar kotal umanachale. He keeps cutting more wood, more reeds, and piling it up. Rashi explains, Hoyil v'tzorach siyu alacherim, since he realizes that he's going to have to come on to other people anyway to help him load this stuff on his shoulders. So he keeps cutting, adem esrame inish umidlile, until someone will come along and help him lift up this bundle on his shoulders. V'hainami, so too in the case of the person who lent the money, hoyil v'hifsid v'amon arishoyno, even though he seems to have lost out in the trust that he placed in Shimon, in his first client, choyzer u'mamin lacherim, that doesn't get him to stop lending money completely. He continues to trust others, ad shemizdaveg loy oma odom ne'mon, until he meets up with a real trustworthy person, u'mishtaker boy, and they make business together, and he makes money on that person. You know, he's successful through that person.